listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 118. Kayla Lortz here with the one, the only, the guy who burned his mouth on his hot coffee, John Brownstone. I will say nothing about how hot coffee is hot. This week, ow, I just got smacked. This week, we're talking about protectors and mentors in BDSM, what they are, and whether or not they're actually needed. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter, at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, or on Instagram at a handle I hate, lovingds and the number one, lovingds1.
Okay.
Fucking hate that. All links are in the show notes. This week's sponsor is Play, the first kink lifestyle brand started by two actual kinksters, which is always nice when a kink company is run by actual kinksters.
Yes.
Sasha and Sir Lucifer. Their products are made with kinksters in mind because they're all safe, sane, and consensual. They're currently building a kinky dating app, and that'll be on Indiegogo soon. But what you're going to want to check out are their Play boxes, themed boxes of kinky fuckery that will come to you in the mail. Kinky fuckery in the mail is totally my jam. That's Woo-hoo. Like, I know, it's my thing. They've got one for anal, another for bondage, one for impact play, temperature play, or you can create your own custom box. Shipping is discreet, and y'all, if I have to say it again, y'all know how we feel about kinky fuckery in the mail, right? Like, kinky fuckery in the mail is fucking awesome.
How do you really feel about
I know.
It?
I know, I'm on the fence, and it's hard to read me, I'm sure. Check out their site at getplay.adult, not .com, not .net, .adult, getplay.adult. And if you decide to buy something, use coupon code LOVINGBDSM to save a little bit.
Yeah.
So that site, again, is getplay.adult. The code is LOVINGBDSM, all one word. And that code is good all through the month of February 2018. So if you are in a tight spot and you're like, I spent all my damn money on Valentine's Day stuff, just wait. It's fine. We totally get it. So yeah, they're our sponsor and it's awesome. And I do have a couple of announcements.
Okay.
They're quick.
Yeah, right.
One's a repeat where I'm going to just keep gently repeating this for a while at least, of that we're accepting contributors. We have two pitches. I have not answered either of them because I'm an awful human being, but we do have them.
We've had a lot going on, so I know.
I know. I made pitches for my other site wait a little bit longer, so it's a pattern. Anyway, so if you would like to contribute a blog post to an article to our website, we are looking for contributors. We're looking for very specific topics, the kinds of things that don't get a lot of mention or that we just are not qualified to discuss. We have a whole list of potential topic ideas, but we'll take any pitch, you know, no guarantee of anything, but we are not going to tell somebody they can't share their idea with us. The two we've got are good. I need to go through and actually like sit down and spend some time and whatever, but they are good so far.
Good.
And then the other announcement is if you are a paid member at the kinky fuckery level of Loving BDSM community, Saturday, what day is that? The 10th. Is the submissive meeting. So if you identify as a submissive and you are at the kinky fuckery paid level, and you don't have to always be a submissive, you can be a submissive sometimes. Switches are certainly welcome. I will be on a live stream, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And I'll remind you.
I know, I have forgotten a couple times. China Doll had to remind me by tweet one time.
Yes.
Not my finest moment, y'all. And do I know what we're talking about? Hell no, I don't know what we're talking about. We'll figure it out when we get there. So those are my announcements. And I kept them short.
Wow.
Neener.
I am impressed, baby girl.
Well, I want to kind of get to the meat of the conversation.
The meat and potatoes.
Ooh, don't say potatoes. I could totally go for some potatoes. I just ate lunch, but I could totally go for some potatoes. But yeah, I kind of want to get to the heart of things. And
okay.
And also, I have felt kind of bad that our past couple episodes we've done have run really long, and not because the topic took that long. The topic was like 45 minutes, but what was that other 45 minutes? Couldn't explain it. You'd have to be there. So this week's topic, we've had on our list for a long time.
Yes, we have.
It was not something we plucked out of the air. We were inspired.
True.
We were inspired by another conversation we had.
Right.
Which is fun.
Yeah.
You gonna say yes to everything I say? That would be fun.
No.
Damn. Okay. So, first of all, I just want to say we are actually recording in daylight for once instead
yeah.
of like middle of the night right before we want the episode to go live.
It's amazing.
I know. I feel like a mature grown-up. It's kind of nice. So we're a little giddy because there's birds chirping and the sun is out. And we're not bundled up like it's actually cold like the rest of the country might be feeling. It feels like Florida weather again.
Just for you folks in the Great White North, there is hope. Our yard is full of robins.
Yes, and the dog is losing his shit over it. But we digress. So, yes, we're a little chipper and giddy, and a lot of that is the weather. It actually does feel like springtime here.
It does.
I think it's a tease. I mean, this stuff comes. Yeah. But still. Anyway, so the origination of this topic for us actually came when we were asked to be on the Kinkcraft podcast several months ago. I remember listening to it after it had gone live while I was ordering our wedding cake, if that tells you how long ago it was. And they were actually talking about just protectors, just BDSM protectors, the concept of those, and we'll kind of get into what we think that means a little bit later on. And somebody else had written the article, Zach Jane Keir. She's awesome. I've met her in London. Cool. And she had a very strong opinion about how pretty much BDSM protectors were an awful idea. And we did not actually disagree with most of her points, but we had an alternative perspective. And
right.
I don't think Andrew and Pixie were expecting that.
No.
And so it was a very interesting conversation. And when we got done with that conversation, I said, we need to talk about this on our show in the way that we would normally do it. And let's talk about mentors, too, because I don't think both separately there it's enough for a single topic. But together, it's kind of two sides of the same coin. So, yeah we've been sitting on this for a while. Now, if you would like to hear our conversation about it, I have linked to that old episode in our show notes page. And if you have not followed Kinkcraft's podcast, we highly recommend it. It's been a while since they've produced a new episode. I assume that's because they're busy doing all kinds of good silly stuff because they make kinky fuckery too.
Yes.
But so hopefully they'll come back soon with a new episode. But if not, that's okay. Old episodes are there and they're good. So let's start probably at the top with what the hell we think a BDSM mentor and a BDSM protector is. They are two different things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they can function similarly. There's some overlap, you know, I think in some of their function, but they are two separate things. So to me, and you correct me, because I think you've actually been both. I know you have been or currently are a protector.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I believe you have been asked to be a mentor. Yes.
Yeah.
Have you agreed to be a mentor?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, and it's a couple people. We wrote a blog post this week about, you know, what is a BDSM mentor? Or no, not what is. Do you need a BDSM mentor? And a couple of people were like, y'all are our BDSM mentor.
Yeah, I know. Like, right.
And in a way, yes.
I guess in a way we
are.
Yeah.
We are very free with our thoughts and on things. But I hesitate to ever say that I guide anybody anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I just tell you to have a freaking conversation because really that's the answer to most things. But now you tell me how you feel because you've been closer to this than I have. To me, a mentor guides and teaches. They answer questions or they point you in the right direction. I'm a little leery of the idea of a mentor that, you know, takes you by the hand and walks you step by step through it.
Yeah,
because it's such a BDSM and what we want and what we need and what we like. It's also personal and individualized. That would be a rare BDSM mentor who could know you so well that they could know where you know you needed to go. But a mentor can be for either dom or sub or somebody who doesn't even identify yet. They're just trying to figure what the hell
out.
This is. And a protector, I'm going to let you define protector because you've done it, but a protector is for submissives or bottoms.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's what they are.
The term protector kind of lends to itself that you are protecting somebody, a sub that's unattached, right. Most of the time.
Right. And typically it's a sub who's unattached. And the way I've seen it applied is a submissive who has either gotten so much harassment, it's usually on FetLife, but it can be anywhere, that if they can attach themselves to a dominant, some of that lightens up, eases up,
mm-hmm.
Which says so much about, I don't even care what gender we're talking about, it says so much about the patriarchy that if I attach my name to you, other people will leave me alone. that's like a whole conversation that needs to happen on its own about how fucking wrong that is. But the truth of the matter is that for the most part, it does. I have seen it where a submissive has usually come out of a bad breakup or a bad DS relationship. They're very vulnerable and fragile. They're still kind of out in the lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
but they're kind of easy prey potentially,
right,
for another baddie. And so then a protector can kind of be there to step between them and whoever else. Am I sort of right about that?
Yeah. I've actually seen it now used in it since we've had that conversation. I've actually seen it used in a different way, where how do I explain it? It's almost like saying you belong to a house.
Gotcha.
Okay, where you have a couple dom, an established dom and sub, and they are protecting so-and-so.
Gotcha.
All right. And it's kind of like a mentorship consideration.
So
kind of
potentially, depending on how everybody involved wanted it to go, they could one day come into their household in some way. But for right now, they're there, but they're not quite there.
Right.
Like, is that okay? That's sort of a squishy definition.
Yeah.
Did we make that clear as mud for you?
But I mean, as far as a mentor goes, mentor is very much a teacher.
Right. And sort of guidance.
Yeah, offering guidance.
The best mentors I've seen, and I think that if I was going to call myself one, this is how I would try to be if I'm not already that way, would mm-hmm. be to say, here are the possibilities as I see them. Here are the places to go to learn more. Like I think the thing that makes the people who do not like the idea of protectors or mentors, mm-hmm. mostly protectors, but I see some people who kind of do the eye roll at the mentor thing, is that this is such a personal journey that the last thing that you as the person desperate for your mentor or protector need is somebody to like walk you through step by step.
Well, yes and no.
I mean, to a certain extent, you got to go out there and kind of...
You do have to go out there and make it your own. That's a given. But I think what's really important here, I mean, let's face it, very, very few of us pop up one day and, you know, oh, I'm a dominant and I know how to flick a whip. I know how to swing a flogger. And all the, you know, this type of stuff. You have to learn. You have to start somewhere. Learn the basics. You know, if someone teaches you the basics, then you can add your own flair, your own style.
And I think the idea of either being a mentor or needing a mentor is all down to personality. So I say that as somebody who is very leery of being an official mentor, because to me mm-hmm. it's a responsibility to take on, because
it is. But I'm going to be sneaky. You know, some people could view us with the podcast as mentors.
Oh, sure.
Okay, because they listen to us, our experiences, and they learn from it. You pick up a book such as The Loving Dominant. Okay, by someone who is an established dominant. And you read that book. And in essence, he's being a mentor.
No, I disagree.
He's passing on information.
He's passing on information as a resource. That is how I look at us. Okay. I know not everybody agrees with me. We are a resource. Books are a resource. Why? Because we put our message out there. the people who find us and listen to us take it mm-hmm. in, and in their own individual way, they process that information and then they do with it what they will. When in my mind, I mentor one-on-one or a few people, okay. I'm looking at your very specific situation and I'm going to tailor my information, my answer, my responses, my everything to your very specific situation. Okay. And it's not general information that I expect you to listen to or read or take in some way and pull out the pieces you need and discard the pieces you don't and ignore the stuff that doesn't matter to you. Like, this is in whatever form it takes as a mentor, I'm having a one-on-one conversation with you. I'm getting as much of your life detail that you want to share with me. And then mm-hmm. I'm having to go through the filing cabinet of my brain to think, okay, here's what I think I know or what I believe or the resources I trust to answer your very specific question. And it is very much a more personal and personalized experience. Now, if somebody decides out there where they can hear the sound of our voice that they consider us mentors, that's cool. I would not label myself that. To me, if you wanted me to be a mentor, you would have to come to me. You would have to talk to me. You would have to convince me that, you know, I should or I want to do it. And we'd have to have a conversation about the other side. What are you doing? Because if what it is you expect somebody to hold your hand and walk you step by step through every moment of your BDSM life, no. Oh, baby, ain't nobody got time for that.
No.
But there are, and that's what I was trying to say earlier, in the people who kind of roll their eyes at the idea of a mentor, that's what they think people are asking for. And I don't think that's what people are typically asking for. I think there are some people who get very nervous about doing everything wrong, and they just want to be able to do a gut check and go, is this right? Is this right? Mm-hmm. Is this right? And when I have been approach that way with people asking those questions, of which I get those questions all the time.
Yeah.
This is another reason why I kind of say I don't know that I could be a mentor, because my answer is usually, I can't tell you that. Yeah. I can tell you what's a red flag. I can tell you the principles that I follow that right. I think are right. The rest has got to kind of come from within you.
True. I think in this day and age, it is probably not as important to find a mentor as it was years ago. I mean, years ago, there were not the resources. There were not the books. You know, the only way you could get into a group was to meet at a munch and have someone mentor you.
Right. And you weren't going anywhere within the community at that point. If you hadn't been vetted, if people didn't know you were safe. And so, I mean, I think I mentioned that in the blog post that's where
and you know, let's face it, going back a little further in the days of Old Guard.
Oh, sure.
Okay. You did not just step up and and, you know, declare yourself a dominant. You came in regardless of your inclinations. You started as a submissive.
And that's what you asking,
you served a mentor, and you worked your way up through the ranks, earned your leathers, and once you earned your full leathers, then you became a dominant.
And I can hear a lot of dominants out there absolutely cringing right now.
Yeah.
And I've seen these conversations that happen online. I tend to stay out of them because I don't know enough about Old Guard. I have a couple of friends who were in mm-hmm. Old Guard, and that's about it. But they go, I have seen dominance just, I mean, if they had hackles, they'd be up, man. Yeah. Hell no, I'm not. And part of it, I think, is the idea of submitting different than serving. And what little bit I've read about going through that process where you served before you ever dominated.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily like what we would consider a DS relationship that we're looking for on a personal level. It was usually very hierarchical, and there was protocol,
very
structured.
Very much so, yes.
I mean, this wasn't like you were somebody's, you know, submissive pet slave, unless that was what you wanted to be,
right?
From everything I've ever read. So, in that time, that made a lot of sense for a lot of different reasons. Not just the group structure, but the fact that information was not so easy
to come to find.
And so that's the other argument people make against both, especially mentors.
Yeah.
is that, wait a moment, we live in the age of Google. And if you can get to an internet connection, the information is at your fingertips. And yet I know what the other side of that argument is of, well, how the hell do I tell what the good information is right. from the bad?
you have to weed through an immense amount of information out there.
I promise you, sites like ours and a few other people I know, we're trying to be at the top of those searches. it's not always working.
Yeah.
But to me, looking for a mentor, because we're still just on mentors, we haven't gotten to protectors yet.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for a mentor, I think, is a personality thing. I think if your first thought is, I don't need that, I got fucking Google, well, then you don't need a mentor and you're mm-hmm. fine and it's all good. And if your first thought is, wait, somebody could help me with this? I personally cannot imagine. It takes so much trust for me just to talk about this kind of stuff that the idea of developing enough trust to allow somebody to guide me, that I feel like I have enough faith in them that they would give me good information,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of energy I'm probably going to leave for developing a relationship. You know, that's me, though.
Yeah.
And as for the idea of being a mentor, I love helping people in the way that I help people now, but I think of it in terms of, oh my God, that probably takes more time than I might want to give. And I know that's not actually how it has to be. Because the other thing I put in my notes, see, we made notes for today, so you can kind of stay on track. Look at me being
a grown-up. I can't
read
them. I took my glasses off. I'm in trouble now.
Is that
notes?
See, notes.
Bullet pointed, even.
Oh yeah, please. You're lucky I don't have an Excel spreadsheet. the thing about setting up a mentorship is that both of you have to consent to it. Both of you, there has to be a conversation, and there has to be consent. Not in the way we think of kinky fuckery consent or power exchange, but you have to. If you're looking for a mentor, you have to go to the person and go, "I'm looking for a mentor. Would you be my mentor? Here's what I'm asking for."
Mm-hmm.
And the other person has to be able to, you know, feel comfortable saying yes or
check. Nope.
Right. I can. Yes, I'll tell you if you can trust that resource. Yes, I'll tell you what you know mm-hmm. what books I've read. Yes, I'll on occasion answer your questions. But
not going to make decisions for you.
Right. Exactly. So if you are the type of person who's thinking, oh gosh, a mentor sounds great, you also have to think about what it is you want from that mentor. And yes, if you are looking for somebody to tell you that you are making all the right decisions, I'm going to say that's probably not a great path to take with a mentor.
No.
The people I have met that I know have acted as mentors, that was never their style. They were excellent mentors. I've met the people that they've helped, and they really did sort of guide and help those kinksters, doms and subs. I mean, it really is not a one or the other on that. But they never just gave an answer unless it was a technical question, like, how do you swing a flogger? And then, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if it's a, should I be doing this, or how can I do that? They, you know, they weren't the type to give those kinds.
Well, you
of
have
answers.
Options A, B, C, and if none of those work out, then you go to D. And
here are these 25 websites I can send you to where you can learn all about this and decide for yourself. Which to me, because that's how my mind is going, I keep thinking that just proves I'm probably not a good mentor. I think I'm good at being a resource. I think that, you know, that's where my talents lie, but a one-on-one
you're
thing,
like a walking BDSM encyclopedia.
No, don't put that on me. No. Because I have two entries, communication and baby girl. Like that's where I might say I know a lot. That's a really short Encyclopedia Britannica.
Okay.
Now, when you have, because I don't get approached to be a mentor, and submissives are certainly capable of being mentors, and I know submissives who have, typically online, but I've never actually been approached, so I don't have firsthand experience, but you've been approached. Am I remembering that correctly?
Sort of, yeah.
How, without giving away anybody's personal details, how have you been approached, and how do you think is best, at least from your perspective, to approach a mentor if it's something you want?
I think the best way to approach it would be to, you know, if you have somebody in mind, you know, just reach out to them. However, you know, if they're local or by email, and just tell them, look, you know, I really respect you. I like the way you handle your, you know, DS relationships. Can I pick your brain?
And I think that may be at least the best way to start.
Yeah.
Because I think if you come at somebody that you don't actually really know, like you know them, but they don't really know you, there's not been a lot of interaction, and you go, would you be my BDSM mentor? You might get your ass blocked. Like, oh my God, who is this person? I personally, what I tend to do when I get things like that, not that I'm going to have to be a mentor, but when I get questions and I'm like, I don't fucking know how to answer this, I let it sit there for a while.
Yeah.
So I think the approach probably does matter, but I think that how you approach, it's on the person, in my opinion, who wants the mentor. If you want a mentor, it is on you to do the work. So what I mean by that is you have to figure out what it is you actually want and need.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to start looking around at the people you follow, the people you admire, the people you respect. Do you think that they are even capable or willing to provide that? And then it's on you to reach out to them and to form, to develop a friendship. And it's, people rightly get leery when a relationship or friendship or a connection is very one-sided. Mm-hmm. So as a mentorship, it is inherently kind of one-sided because this person has information that you want. But I think that you can do your part as the mentee to respect their time, to respect their boundaries, to not assume that they'll just do and give and be there for you. And then to kind of take what they can give, because you might want the world and the mentor's like, look, I can give you like 10 minutes. That's what I got right now. That's the bandwidth I've got. Or a potential mentor might say, you know, I really respect the fact that you've reached out and that you've asked. I don't really have the bandwidth, or I don't feel comfortable with this. Here's maybe some places or some people I can recommend. And then they've given you what they can give you, and then you have to respect it. Like, that's your part.
Sure.
As the mentee. Like, you're asking a lot from this other person. You have to sort of accept what they can and will give you.
Right.
And everybody gets to have their boundaries, and everybody gets to have that point where they go, no, this is a little bit too far for me. I can't give you everything you need. I think that's why I tend to just, I'm a big believer in being a part of, obviously, an online community. I can pretend I'm not biased there, but your local community, having a set of sort of kinky friends in the online space.
Well, see, there's something too, because that's something I was going to bring up as well. You know, in your local community, we have in our area a monthly dom and sub meeting where the submissives go off and all meet together, and they can talk, and the dominants have their time to go talk. That's a wonderful way to learn, you know, be around other people and ask questions.
And I can hear the introverts out there going, but not the people. Y'all, I hate to tell you this, but BDSM is inherently a people thing. At some point you're going to have to talk to another human being if you would like to do any of it. And quite frankly, I've never gone into any BDSM group, especially in real life, where there wasn't somebody else there who was new and nervous and unsure and wondering if all these weird people were all going to just strip off our clothes and be naked or in leather some way and just like start acting like crazy people in front of them. I mean, like that feeling you have is completely normal and you're not alone. See, that's why I can't be a mentor either, because I'm going to need you to suck it up and go join the damn community. My, you know, for a lot of what you learn in BDSM is through the actual personal experience of going through it and doing it and trying it and failing at it and then trying it again and, you know, whatever. But some of the ways I have learned, gotten the most perspectives, and had my eyes open in the most ways, were the conversations I get into with another group of kinky people. Whether that's online or in person, that's more eye-opening and more educational to me than all of the solitary study I can do. Reading the books I love to do, and it is helpful, and it does open my eyes, and it makes you feel less alone. going online and perving Tumblr and all those things. Yes, those things are beneficial. But when it comes to actually expanding my horizons and giving me the reminder, one, I'm not alone, and two, that there are so many fucking ways to do this, it's been in conversations in the community.
Right.
So that's an, I guess, another thing to look at. But it all comes back to figuring out what it is you want, if you feel like you want a mentor, and then who to find. Right. Who to reach out to, and how to develop that relationship. I would say mentors, I don't know, are they easier than protectors? Because a mentor, it's not a power exchange at all.
No.
It's a knowledge exchange. It's a year right. more experience and I'm newer and can you help me? But on a protector side, we'll have to switch gears a little bit, because that can be more problematic. And that, when we were talking about it with Andrew and Pixie, it was definitely, people had very clear opinions. And the people who were in the against the protector category have mm-hmm. very compelling reasons, and I don't disagree with them.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think with a protector, sometimes the lines can get a little blurry.
Well, and I one of us said it in the episode, and I'll say it again here. Depending on what you're looking for and what your expectations are, either as a protector or as the person being protected, sometimes it's kind of like Dom light, you know?
Yeah.
It's DS
you
light.
Said, yeah, you made that comment.
That is also where I developed air quote Doms as an expression, I think, yes. if I recall. Anyway, so again, it's when it comes to a protector. So a protector is, like we said earlier, you attach as a submissive, you attach to this dominant, you attach your name, you in some cases check in with them, in some cases it's very standoffish, it's very hands off, it's just I'm attached to them, so look, you if you're on FetLife and you're trying to come talk to me as a submissive and you're a dominant, you got to go talk to my protector first. Or maybe if you see my protector's yeah. name, you'll leave me alone. And I'll just say again, that is so problematic on so many levels. However, and it is also not foolproof. So if you are a submissive who kind of feels like you're constantly bombarded with inappropriate messages from doms or wannabe doms or tops or kinksters or whatever, in any social media outlet, in any form online, as somebody who puts John Brownstone right at the fucking top and I tag him in everything I do online, it is not foolproof. It is no defense against the pervy person who wants to just be creepy. Like, they will ignore that. So if you're thinking, oh, if I get a protector, all of this will magically stop. No, no. It will not. It will lighten
up. It will probably cut a lot of it down.
It'll lighten it up. It'll ease up. It will not stop that kind of constant online pestering and no. harassment. It'll never completely stop. It's always there. If you're there and you're out there and you're, you know, you have a place online, it's going to happen. So that's one thing to realize about the protector. Now, are you still currently? No. Okay. I know you have other like dom sub relationships. I just don't always know how they're classified. I don't know what names to give them. So I will, because you have been a protector,
mm-hmm.
you need to talk about that.
I do.
Please. And thank you. I can. I would sound like a fool. More so than normal.
Goodness. Okay.
I should have seen the look he gave me.
Well, I don't really know what to say other than that. You know, it's in the case for me, it was basically just having that person attach their name to me. Okay, that I was their protector because they were being harassed by somebody.
That is so sad. It's just now, but in order to be a protector,
mm-hmm.
they had to ask you.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard of, I don't think I've ever heard of it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Have you ever heard of somebody offering to be a protector for a submissive? Is that, am I making that up in my head?
No, not that I know.
Okay. I mean, I could see the circumstances for that. If you have a friendship already, if you have an mm-hmm. established rapport.
Right.
And you offer your protection
It wasn't just somebody out of the blue.
And that, I think, is the other thing. That was definitely the thing we talked about on the other episode,
yeah.
is that if you are submissive and you're thinking, oh, a protector, okay, that might work, that might help, I kind of like that. This should not be a total stranger. This is there's a little bit of actual vetting, not as intense as a full DS relationship, but you still have to vet this person.
Yeah, no. This was somebody that I knew. We had talked and had a friendship for a while.
I know why I was thinking about could a protector offer themselves. That was part of the debate and the reasoning behind why protectors are a bad idea. So a new sub comes on the scene, maybe their local dungeon, the Munch, and some predatory asshole comes up and goes, "Oh, you're new? You need a protector. I'll protect you." Yeah. If that happens to you, no, that's not how it actually works.
Mm-mm.
Could you, with your eyes wide open, with full consent, do that? Yes, but if you're brand new, I just don't see how you could fully consent to that, because how would you know what that even is?
Right.
That is not actually a thing. That's not a best practice.
No.
If some creepy, quote, dom comes up to you, says, "Oh, you're new, you need a protector, I'll be your protector," that's a predator. Run. Run the other way. Go find a dungeon master or the leader of your munch or wherever it's happening.
I mean, really, for somebody coming in new into the lifestyle, you're better off finding yourself a mentor. Go to local events. Go to a munch.
Right.
You know, find somebody there. Online. FET has its pros and cons. It's social media. You get the drama. You get the just like Facebook or anything else. But there are a lot of good groups out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, an excellent resource if you use it for that. You know, go in, do what you got to do, read, and c'est la vie. Go ahead.
Oh, I was trying not to interrupt. I'm doing better at that. The other thing I want to make clear here, whether you go for a BDSM mentor or a protector, this person is not your dominant, okay?
Right.
If what you want is a dominant, then negotiate that.
Well, here's where I'm gonna say too. While I have heard of doms mentoring subs, more than not, mentors, doms mentor.
Doms and subs
mentor subs,
and not always necessarily. I have seen the online conversation about how if what tends to happen, especially female submissives, but submissives go, "Oh, I need guidance," because that was my point. A mentor or a protector, mentor more than protector, they can offer guidance. They're not there should not be there to tell you what to do as if they are your dom. If what you want is a dom, then go negotiate that. If what you need is a little bit of guidance, point me in the right direction. Can I ask you a question when I have a question? That's totally cool. Okay. You can work that out with them. But that was as part of the debate too, is that when first of all, from my experience, dominance tend not always to be willing to go ask another dominant or anybody else for help. Mm-hmm. I have referred many dominants to you. Yeah. And then I check in later and I go, "Did they ever email you?" You're like, "Nope." I'm like, "Okay, that's, you know, that's up to them. That's cool."
Well, and I'm going to say that is true. Yeah, I'm sorry. I interrupted you now, didn't I? But, you know, I'm going to admit I was the same way.
And it kind of makes sense. If you are a burgeoning dominant, you're like, "But I'm so here comes that awful word supposed to, right? I'm supposed to be in control and in charge. And doesn't it make me look weak if I ask for help?" No.
I mean, I consider Master Michelle my mentor in many ways.
Sure.
And it was kind of funny. And for the longest time, she was my mentor and she didn't know it.
She wasn't really your mentor.
Right, but
she was somebody you admired and respected.
She was somebody I admired and respected, but from that, it started me watching the things she does, listening to what she had to say.
Right, and I think that is the difference. I think we all have people, or hopefully, or as you develop in your kinky life, we all have people that we see that we respect and admire, whether they've been doing it for a long time or we just kind of like the way they do it.
Yeah.
You know, from messages we've got, we know that we have helped other people who, you know, out there listening to the show.
Right.
There is nothing wrong with that. I don't want anybody to think that I'm sitting here saying you should not be able to do that. But if what mm-hmm. you want is a mentor, that is something separate. Watching the people you admire, paying attention to what they say, listening to them, learning from them, and then taking the bits and pieces of what they show that fit you and trying it out for yourself, that's what we all are doing, okay?
Right.
Sort of a copy-paste kind of thing with some modifications. But a mentorship is a much more personal arrangement. Now, it is sure. as personal or impersonal as you both want it to be, but it is a one-on-one. I've had a conversation with you. I have asked you, is this okay? Can I come to you with this? Do you mm-hmm. mind helping me? You know, can you answer my question? You know, whatever it is, it's a conversation you've had, and this person has agreed to be your mentor.
True.
And that is a separate thing from sort of, like I said earlier, watching people that you consider a resource,
mm-hmm.
you know, that maybe you admire, maybe you respect, maybe you just know that they're really good at what they do and you want to be good at that thing too. That we're all doing that, I think, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But a mentorship is much more personalized. Now, back to what I was saying. The debate on submissives looking for mentors
mm-hmm.
is that many of them, for different reasons, will look for a dominant to be their mentor before they'll look for another submissive. And I have seen this said before in a few places online, and I actually pretty much wholeheartedly agree with it, that you are better off as a submissive getting another submissive of any gender, of any part of the spectrum of sexuality, of whatever their experience is,
mm-hmm.
another submissive to be your mentor. Because if you're looking for a dominant to sort of tell you how to do this or tell you what to do or to guide you, I'm back to thinking what you're looking for is DS light, and you might as well just go and find yeah. a dominant and negotiate that. A submissive can say, from my experience, here is how this makes me feel. Oh, you're feeling that? Yes, I recognize that. I've had my moments mm-hmm. too. Oh, what resources do I trust as a submissive to help me with submission?
Now, I'm gonna play devil's advocate just a little bit on that
mm-hmm.
because I think to a certain extent, a submissive it should know what's going on in a dominant's head.
I don't disagree.
Okay. That they should understand the D side of the spectrum. Just like with you, when we first met and we started going in and we started moving towards a DS relationship, there were certain things I taught you because I didn't know if we were going to be together as a couple or not. And I would kind of impart to you, well, you know, this is something you should know. You know, these are things you should know from your perspective that you should or should not look for in a dom.
Right. And I don't disagree. At the same time, using that argument, then a dominant should go get themselves a submissive as a mentor so they can know the submissive mindset.
Yeah.
I'm not making an argument for either or. What
mm-hmm.
in the sense that actually the person who's the best mentor for you is the person who fits you best.
Right.
But the reality is that a lot of submissives come in and either they get screwed over by the first predator that sees the white of their eyes.
True.
Or they've heard so many horror stories, they're terrified. They think what they need to learn about the lifestyle is to go get attached to the first dominant that they kind of think mm-hmm. might know what they're talking about. And their expectations of what that will be are closer to DS light than to a protectorship yeah. or a mentorship. And if what you want to do is learn how to navigate BDSM from a perspective, if you even know what your perspective is yet, there are a lot of people who come in and don't have a clue yet. They're just like, I know I'm into it. I know I'm interested. I don't know. Am I sub? Am I dom? Am I both? I don't know. If you know, as a submissive, if you can find a strong submissive that you respect, that you like, that you feel comfortable with, who is willing to do it, I think you're going to be better off with a mentorship like that. If you ever decide to go look for a protector, mm-hmm. well, then there you go. It's still a guidance role.
Right.
And the dominant at that point can say, well, here are some things you might need to know.
Yeah.
You know, I would be any submissive that feels comfortable being a mentor, like they actually feel like I know a little bit enough to be able to maybe like point you in the right direction. They're going to know the resources. They're going to say, look, if you want a dominant, you know, perspective, here's some people I trust, or here are some resources to look at. I mean
over the years, I've had a number of submissives approach me wanting to mentor them. Mm. And I've just been like, I am not qualified to do that. Mm-hmm. I can train you to be my submissive.
And that exactly right there is my point. And then my question to you is, how did they respond when you said that?
Well, I didn't say I would train them to be my submissive. But I told them, I passed on resources such as Submissive Guide, mm-hmm. where as a submissive, you can go and look for another submissive to be your
exactly. I mean, we're,
your mentor.
We're all out there.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of strong dominants of all genders, of all sexualities, mm-hmm. who are out there sharing their experience and willing to help in the ways that work for them and that are within their boundaries. Their submissives doing the same thing. Their entire website's devoted to the idea of helping people learn.
Right.
So I think, yes, your devil's advocate. I don't like your devil's advocate. Because I'll argue that one down.
I know you will.
Argue that one down. I don't want anybody It's payback. I know
yes,
for 117 fucking episodes.
That's
it's
right.
Payback.
it's kind of like, again, going back to what I touched on with the old guard in the beginning. Part of the reasoning you start out as a submissive is because they feel you need to be on the other side of the shoe to fully grasp being
right.
A dominant.
How can you know how to lead a submissive if you don't know what it's like to be a submissive? I'm of both two minds. I totally see and understand that thinking. I also understand and see why somebody would absolutely reject that thinking.
Well.
So, because I've seen both sides of the argument. As a submissive, it would actually be more of a strain to me if somebody said, okay, you've been a submissive for a while. I'm going to need you to go take on a dominant role. You know,
time to switch, baby.
Right. I'd be like, woo! but that's the thing that I want to make sure that we make clear. For all that, it's probably become quite obvious that I do not personally see for myself the need of a mentor or a protector. Never did. Never. It never even occurred to me. I don't want anybody to think that we think the idea of either is absolutely ridiculous. You have been a protector. If the right person that was a friend of yours came along with the right parameters and boundaries, mm-hmm. no doubt you'd probably
right. And
agree
again, it wasn't somebody out of the blue. Yeah.
Right. And so the thing about should I be a mentor? Should I get a mentor? Should I be a protector? Should I get a protector? It all comes down to your individual perspective, your circumstances.
Right.
What I would like to stress is that you need to think hard, long and hard about your motivation behind it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If what you are wanting is somebody just to tell you what the hell to do, then you want a DS relationship and you can negotiate that without love or sex attached.
Mm-hmm.
You can negotiate a situation where you submit on some levels and they, you know, control you on some levels and you have that back and forth and you fulfill a need and you learn at the same time. If what you want is desperately to learn about how to be better at what you think you might be right now, because sometimes that will change as you go through it, then that's a different conversation. That's a different set of motivations. And that's maybe even a different person to go seek out. And let's make sure we only kind of touch on, let's say this again, if you're brand new, and even if you're not brand new to the lifestyle, but maybe you're going out into the community for a while. And so to the people in the physical community, at the munch, at the dungeon, to them, you're fresh meat because they've never seen you before.
Mm-hmm.
And they sidle up to you and they're like, hey there, you're new, aren't you? You need a protector. You need a mentor. I can do that for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's some red flags waving,
right.
One in each hand.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Run screaming from that, because that is not really, maybe 30, 40 years ago. Maybe that's how it worked. That's not how that works today. I would say if that is how that works in your community, I want to know every fucking detail down to the rules about how that works, yeah. Because I've never heard of that before.
No.
So
now, do some communities have, if you say you attend a munch, do you want to attend the club before you can ever join the dungeon or the club? Some places, not all, but some places do have like a BDSM 101.
Yes, yes, I've seen that.
Okay, where you understand about how play in the club works. You know, general public safety playing in the club, understand the roles of the dungeon monitors and what they do, things like that.
And can some local communities, and especially clubs, pair you with a mentor? Is that a possibility? Of course it's a possibility. But again, it would have structure to it. It would have rules. It would have boundaries. You would have to agree to it, and you would know what you were getting before you said yes to it. The creepy person who walks up to you and just randomly offers? No. If your local community offers something with structure and boundaries and rules and it appeals to you, then go for it, right. Please. And then report back and tell us all about it, because I would love to know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's two different things. And I think if I like could leave anybody with like any thought about whether you are the mentor or the mentee, the protector or the protectee, The protected. Ooh, nouns and verbs and conjugations are difficult, says the writer. it's that, just like maybe on a lighter scale, maybe in a less intense way, but just like any DS power exchange, there needs to be communication.
Right.
There needs to be limits. There needs to be consent. You both
definitely limits. Just because somebody is your mentor or your teacher doesn't mean they're on call for you 24/7.
No, gosh, no. And if somebody says they'll be your protector, you both need to know what you both mean by that. So
right. You
might ask somebody to be your protector so that they'll stop the creepy stuff happening online, and but you have this thought of, oh, but if I have questions, they'll answer them for me. And they're thinking, I'm just going to let her or him put my name next to them on FetLife. Like, you need to have a clear sense and communicate it.
Right.
What this is, so that there are no surprises. There's,
mm-hmm.
you know, less option for hurt feelings. And so that both parties know what the hell they're agreeing to. And yes, if you are a submissive who likes the idea of a protector for whatever reason, like I said, typically we see it if it's not part of like a house thing, or, you know, coming into sort of a group, maybe you were already friends with them or you already knew them and now you're kind of entering the kink lifestyle and they're like, here, let us, you know, let us help you, let us guide you. And you go out looking for a protector. Yes, it absolutely needs to be somebody you know, somebody you've got a rapport
right.
with, somebody you've had a conversation with more than once. I would be, quite frankly, very leery of any dominant or top who was approached by a total stranger who said, hey, I've been watching you for a while. We've never really had a conversation, and I don't really know
yeah.
you, and you don't really know me, but I think your Twitter is great. Would you be my protector? If that top or dominant said yes, I would be very leery of that. I would be very leery for both of you in general. I don't see how that really ends well. So it's like everything else we do in BDSM. It all comes down to communication and consent and setting those boundaries and knowing what you're
right.
you're getting into. And before you even approach somebody, knowing why you want it. If what you want is just to know what information you can trust, that I don't think you need something as structured or as complicated or as sometimes, you know, it takes a while to negotiate these things as a mentor or a protector. Just keep using Google and get better at Google. And I think people doubt themselves too easily. I think that I tend to treat everybody who comes to the Loving BDSM website as if you are completely intelligent. I'm going to just act like you all are really smart. And I know that we all have different intelligent levels, but I figure if I treat you like you're smart, you will be smart and you will go, oh, okay, this rings true to me. Okay, I will listen to this. Or, oh no, I don't agree with that. I can set it to the side. So I'm not good with, maybe that's why I worry about the idea of mentoring. I'm not going to spoon feed anything to anybody,
mm-mm,
you know? And so I'm going to, the thing I have found about good resources in general, not just our site, the sites we trust, Submissive Guide and Dominant Guide and several others, and people that we have followed, you are better at this than I am, on Fat Life, is that when you read it, you don't immediately get these red flags that make you go, wait, what? You don't necessarily get a whole bunch of really bad feelings in the pit of your stomach, like, oh my God, I've been doing this wrong my whole entire life. Like, if you need to know whether you found a good resource or not, I always feel like it comes down to, how does it make you feel?
Right.
You know, does it make you feel like you've been doing everything wrong for your whole kinky life? And not because they're talking about red flags. If I'm talking about red flags and you get a sick feeling in your stomach, yeah, it's time to do some self-reflection there.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just this idea of, oh, this is the only way, and this is the only thing you should do, and this is the one true way, and you're sitting there going, oh God, but I don't think that's me, and does that mean I'm not a kinkster? If you get to a resource and it has you questioning yourself as a human being, I'm going to say it might not be the resource for you.
No.
But if you come to a resource and you go, you know, I know that's not me, but hey, that taught me something, or hey, that opened my eyes, then you are likely at a good resource. Like, that's how most, I mean, when I have looked at other places, I've gone, oh wow, that's really cool. I'm happy to send people there because I feel like it's information I can trust and then I know would be good for anybody who goes there. That's the feeling you get. I don't need a mentor to tell me that, you know? And some people have not developed the skills yet to learn how to trust themselves. And I get that, okay? Trusting that inner feeling is a skill like anything else. It takes practice, but you are more capable of it than you realize. You will get it wrong before you get it right. You will follow a shitty person on Twitter and go, why did I follow them? And then you will unfollow them and you will learn the next time. You will go to a site that is spewing all kinds of bullshit about the one true way to do DS. And you'll go, and you'll follow them because you think you're supposed to, says the girl who did it, okay? You'll follow them because other people are following them, so maybe there's something you don't know, but you'll kind of go, oh, I don't like how this makes me feel. And then one day, because if you're reading that, there's a good chance you're willing to read other things or to listen or to watch videos, you'll come across somebody else who gives you a completely different feeling, and that's when you'll realize, oh, wait, I like this better. This is a feeling that works for me. And you will turn that other one off and you won't go back there.
That's right.
That's a learned skill. And personally, if that's what you're trying to do, if you're trying to figure out how do I learn about this, you don't need a mentor for that. You don't need a protector for that. And you are going to stumble before you fall and fall before you learn and get better at this. But if you really are looking for guidance, if you have questions that just the online world is not answering for you, and you feel strongly that that's what you need, is a mentor or a protector on whatever side of the slash you fall on, then just get real with your motivations and understand that you have to approach that person and you have to make your case, and then you have to respect their boundaries and their limits too.
It's true.
So we are not completely neutral, I think, I would say, about BDSM mentors and protectors. But I'm never comfortable with something when I can see both sides of a situation, ever saying, oh, you should never do that. Like, there's a few things, yeah, I'll do it. I've ranted before. We know this. But that's just, you know, it's not something I would do, but that doesn't mean that it's not valid, that there's not times when it can be constructive and productive.
Correct.
So, but before you go looking for something like that, I think you have to do work on your own, you know, to know who you are, what you want.
You have to put in your own effort. Absolutely.
Exactly. Because I think if what you want is somebody to hold your hand through every step of the way, that I just, I can see, like, my mind goes down a few paths with that of how that would not come out well for either of you. So I didn't mean for that to get so ranty. I was ranty.
When aren't you ranty? I think it would be more the cause for raised eyebrow if you weren't ranty.
I know. And it's funny because I've gotten to know so many of our listeners, I can hear the people that I know would be going, hell fuck no, I don't need no damn BDSM mentor, and hell fuck no. I'm adding the improper English, y'all. I'm sure you can speak improper English. Hell no, protectors are bullshit. And then but because I know other people, I can also hear the people in my head going, no, I need that. I totally need that. Yeah.
And it's a personal thing. Some people, you know, want that. And other people don't.
Exactly, and I that is exactly where I come down on too, because there isn't. I think it is less the right choice for more people than it is the wrong choice. I think a lot of people go into it with the wrong expectations, and then they're disappointed, or they don't get what they needed from it, and so then they're kind of a couple steps back from where they even started, like. It can be problematic, but it's like anything else you do in DS, BDSM, kink, whatever. You know, you got to talk it out. You got to be real with each other. And please, please don't approach strangers. And if strangers approach you, consider that a red flag.
Wary, yes.
There.
Yes.
Okay. I've said red flag like 25 million times. So yes, I think I got my point across.
Okay.
Because this is a topic where we know people have really strong opinions on both sides, we are happy to have you share them with us. You
yes,
know our
please.
Rule. You can disagree with us all you like. Just don't be an asshole. You can talk to us on
Do it respectfully.
Right. You can talk to us on FET. Talk to us on Twitter. If you are a member, free or paid, I mean, we got a shit ton of free members.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to go into the forum, the podcast episodes forum,
right.
And you can talk about this once we post that there. And, you know, especially... I think because I tend to hear more about bad experiences than good experiences, I would love to hear people who've had good experiences, more with mentors than protectors, because I have seen the good experience. Was it that person who withdrew from you where she said, I don't need this? That's what happened, right? She was like, okay, I'm good. I don't need this anymore. And that's kind of the outcome you would want as a protector.
Sure.
For the other person to go, I'm good. And you go, great. You know, happy to have helped. So I've seen that, but BDSM mentors, I would love to hear some like actual success stories. So if somebody out there has one and is willing to share, please do. It expands our horizons.
Yes.
And if somebody thinks I'm wrong about what it takes to be a mentor, please tell me, because I do sort of have that question in my mind of, God, should I be doing that? Am I supposed to be doing that? Am I one? I don't know. I don't know. So yeah, anything you want to share about your experiences or thoughts with either BDSM mentors or protectors, you are welcome to do. And we do have a bonus section because we got mail.
Yes.
We got mail that made me squee in the car.
Yes.
Because I didn't even wait to get home to open that mail.
Okay. Then let's just do it and move on.
Are you rushing me, Daddy?
Yes.
You've interrupted me 25 million times in this episode, and you're rushing me? I feel like for every interruption... No, if we did that, then I'd have to do that for you next time I interrupted you. Never mind. No. Never mind. Okay, so yes, there is a bonus section for anybody who cares to stick around for that.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, are we good?
I'm trying to be.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all. I'll see you next week. Pretty, pretty, please. Daddy. Think of the crickets. The crickets are waiting. One of them giggled. I'm sure of it. I'm sure a cricket giggled. I'm sure they're laughing hysterically now.
Crickets chirp. They don't giggle.
They can chirp in a giggly way. To my crickets out there, if you giggled, I'm going to need you to tweet, Instagram, FetLife, or email us to let him know that you giggled, because I'm sure you did.
Yeah. Go ahead.
They're laughing hysterically right now.
Go ahead, baby girl.
Yay! Okay, so that episode was like way rantier than I meant for it to be. Like I wanted to stay really neutral, but apparently I have thoughts and feelings about about it. I
did something I don't normally do. I interrupted you.
I know, and it's, you know, it's true. Wow. I cannot really complain. I've been interrupting you since we met.
Boy interrupted. Or is that Dom interrupted, maybe?
I think it can be both.
Both, yeah,
frankly.
Either or.
Because before you were my Dom, I was interrupting you.
That's true.
So I cannot, it makes me feel really bad. Because I'm like, oh my God, this sucks. I was in the middle of a thought. Oh, wait, that must be how he feels. Oh.
Touché.
And I can't think of her name, but I'm waiting to be paraded naked through the streets hearing shame.
Oh,
shame.
Oh,
not Cersei, the chick who shamed her.
Nah,
the sister, yeah.
The sister, yes.
Yeah. So there, we threw in a Game of Thrones reference. For the record, that is like the only scene I've ever actually watched. I've read all of the books. I'm waiting very impatiently for a new book, which I'll be 50 by the time it comes out. And and you have seen all of the episodes.
I've read all the books and I've watched all the episodes, yes.
So for me to make a reference is kind of shocking. Okay, so let's get to the mail, because we did get mail. We got a postcard from Kentucky with
yes.
a beautiful horse on the front from Rabbit Heart, who was traveling. So I'm starting to get the feeling, and I might ask Rabbit Heart directly online, because Rabbit Heart travels, I think, for work, and I'm thinking we're starting to get postcards from just the different places
that she's been.
Right. So if that is the case, please confirm that or deny it. Say, you know, you're fucking wrong.
Can neither
you're
confirm
so
or deny.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, the picture on the front is a Kentucky Thoroughbred. I need to take a picture and pop it up on Instagram of our mail. And when I get to the last bit of this, you'll know why. And then we got a Valentine's card from Panda Daddy and Little Panda Kitten, who we adore. And in the card were Valentine's heart stickers that are awesome. So it's a Valentine's Day card, and it on the front is a unicorn with the bow and arrow.
Yes.
That they're cute. It says, have a super magical, disgustingly perfect Valentine's Day, sending rainbows and hearts and a bunch of other sappy stuff. That is a card right up my alley, man. Sweet snarky.
Just tugs at your baby girl strings, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And this goes live before Valentine's Day, so we might hopefully remember this for the next episode. But Panda Daddy is headed to see Little Panda Kitten there long distance and will arrive on Valentine's Day.
Yay!
And I believe that is the best Valentine's Day present ever. If I remember, when we were long distance, you came one Valentine's
time.
Day.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes for a good Valentine's Day, I'm just saying. So, and we have several long distance Kingster
Matter
friends.
Matter of fact, we went out to dinner that one night. I cannot remember the name of the restaurant, and it's not there anymore. you know the place. It was really, really good food.
Oh, was it the one in downtown?
Yeah,
that was good food. I can't remember what we ate, but I remember it being really good. You cannot rely on my memory. I'm an awful.
Apparently mine either.
It was good though, I know. Yes.
I was very sorry when I found out that place didn't exist anymore.
I know, because it was one of those.
It had great ambiance. The wait staff was good, and the food was unbelievably good.
And you met the chef in the men's bathroom. I did. And y'all peed next to one another.
Yep.
And you confirmed that he washed his hands. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are the things we remember. I don't know. So then. So we've got Rabbit Heart, who sent a Kentucky postcard, and then Little Panda Kitten and Panda Daddy. Woo, don't say that 10 times fast. I'm sober, y'all. I swear to God. Valentine's card. And then we got a package.
Yes.
And normally, when we get boxes, I cannot open them. We're in the car. I need a box cutter. But this was an envelope, and there was a little section.
Well, you know, I am going to interrupt you, but this is with a purpose, the true purpose this time. You know, they say timing is everything.
Yes.
Okay. So that morning we were on our way for Kayla to have
her
procedure done. And she was, you know, rightfully so, not in the greatest moods, you know, very, very pensive. And
I hadn't eaten.
And she hadn't eaten caffeine. Or drank, you know, so she was a little hangry. And we decided to leave early because traffic around, it's not so much the distance you drive around here.
No.
It's the traffic that you have to contend with. So we left a little early and we found ourselves with time. So we went and checked our P.O. box. And sure enough, there was this package in there. And her having it and opening it on the way down just really helped her mood and her whole demeanor.
Yes. So normally we get a box and I have to wait and I need a box cutter. But this was a padded envelope and it had tape to close it. But there was this teeny tiny little part at the top I could get the tip of my finger in. I'd have used my teeth if I'd had to. And I was able to slice it over my finger and open it up. And
well, I do have sharp instruments in my glove box if you ever need to know.
Sorry, I was being a baby girl who was trying to get into her mail. And I think my favorite is that it was addressed to Mr. Daddy and Mrs. Baby Girl.
Yes.
And that is fucking awesome. We totally need t-shirts. And so, first, let's go with the card. And on the front is a penguin in a coconut bra and hula skirt.
Woohoo!
And the question that the person who sent it to us wrote on the front is the Florida mascot?
Yeah.
Should be. So, in here, these are Kingsters that we've known for a bit online. We chat with. We enjoy each other very, very much. They are getting married soon, and we're very happy for them. Twitter, that might work. Alt fact, a big lie. I just love handle. I just love this handle. I'm like, yes, that is very true. And then she is at Gotta Stand Up on Twitter. And they are wonderful. And they said that this package was supposed to arrive around the holidays, but life happens. We totally know that. So we both really enjoy the podcast and being a member. The survey was a great idea and hopefully shed some light on your newest directions. Yes, it did. Thank you very much. And they say, our DS relationship has definitely improved from your thoughts, opinions, and input. Keep up the good stuff. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And but the card itself, so there's the penguin on the front and the coconut bra, and then on the inside it says the secret weapon to aging well. Two words, coconut bra.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a little note to the side that says it's meant for John Brownstone. I would pay money to see you in a coconut bra, and I would take pictures, and I would put them on the internet. Well, considering I've put your naked body on the internet since the 1st of February, we need to get you a coconut bra. I'm just saying. So in our card, this is just the card, y'all. So we're only in like step one. In our card is a lovely, lovely gift from Starbucks that says you are loved. And then it says there's a note to me. So the coconut bra might be for you. But the note to me says Kayla share 50-50.
That's right.
Damn it. Okay, I will because you said. But wait, there's more. Now the card was wonderful. And had we just gotten the card, I'd have been completely delighted and tickled and so happy. But then I kept going. I'm like, what is this? And then I started laughing hysterically. There are two t-shirts. One is a dark gray. One is a light gray. They both say the same thing on the front. Powered by caffeine and sarcasm. So if you see these shirts in some upcoming videos, you'll know why. It's our new uniform shirt. This was beyond generous. It is beyond generous when people take their time and to send a card and to write a thoughtful note and then to clearly have seen something and gone, oh yes, that's got their name written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
We are it really was perfect. I was going for a couple of procedures and I had not eaten. I was kind of nervous. So I was also cranky and I was just really thinking, can you just get me through this so I can go eat? And then we get all the wonderful mail we got, and just I'm squeeing everywhere like the baby girl that I am, and it was a wonderful, wonderful bright spot.
I had to roll down the window, y'all, because it was getting a little loud in there. You know,
stop. If that was the case, our windows would always be down. It's always loud up in here. And I do know that there's at least a package of some sort coming from the UK that clearly has not arrived yet. And I know there's a postcard or a card that's coming that has not arrived yet. I am checking the mail diligently, y'all. I promise. So this is wonderful. Just wonderful. And I have somebody who is teasing me and says they'll just send me some packing peanuts. And I said, please do. I'm good with that. That was amazing and wonderful and good, and we will get a picture up hopefully before the episode goes live. We're recording on Thursday. Hopefully I'll get this done on Thursday. So I did have my tests. I had an endoscopy and colonoscopy together, and I just want you to know that was not the spit roast fantasy I had, okay? That was not the kinky spit roast of my dreams. I did get some answers about why I have not been feeling well.
Yes.
And I'm got some medicine to take, and I've got some things to do, and I'm going to be just fine. I have a follow-up appointment. We'll learn a little bit more there. Yeah. But so this is the part that I would share with you guys, because you'd go, oh yeah, you're such a baby girl. So I come out of to get the I know that in some places in some doctor's offices it's like a light sedation and you're awake but you're really relaxed, and in some cases you're like totally awake for these things. I was fast the fuck asleep, and it was wonderful. It's like, I'll be back next week for another one of these so I could take a nap. No, I will not, but it was funny to say while I was high. Anyway, so the doctor who did the procedures comes in and tells me what they found, and the nurse who was there with me during recovery is explaining it, and I started crying. I like buried my face in the pillow, and it was after they left. Like, it wasn't like they were standing in front of me, I'm bawling like a baby, but I started crying. And the nurse said, are you okay? And I said, I just got proof that I'm not crazy, that this isn't all in my head, and I know it doesn't look like it, but I'm actually happy. And she said, do you need John? And I said, yes. And it took everything in my power not to say, I need my daddy, because that's what I was thinking. I need my daddy. So they went and got John, and he was like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Like, I'm fine. Here's what's wrong with me. I don't think most people want to find out there's something wrong with them, but I've had a couple of doctors sort of look at me like, well, you know, you're getting older. And every time I would sort of rail, this is not normal. I was starting to doubt myself. So everything is good. I'll take my medication like I'm supposed to. I've got to make some even more lifestyle changes than I had already made. But we got answers. And then I got French fries and a sweet tea when we were done.
I have my own funny story from that day.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Is it a story I've heard?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. I was high that day. I might not remember.
Right. You may not. So, you know, we're there, and they,
yes, I do remember,
and
this.
And they take Kayla into the back to get her prepped, and I'm sitting out in the waiting room, and I'm doing my thing. I pull out my iPad and start playing and this and that, and about an hour later, nurse walks out and yells, John. And I thought to myself, wow, that was really quick. And I stood up and walked back with her. Very sweet little old lady. And we get back there, and she just immediately starts going into what has been going on. And I look over on the bed, on the gurney, and it is not Kayla. And the woman on the gurney is looking at me and shaking her head no. I'm shaking my head no. And the nurse, she's on a roll. She's done this speech thousands of times, and she's just going with it. And I'm like, no. And finally, she looks up, and I was like, this is not Michaela.
Wrong wife.
Yep.
Wrong John.
Yes. So apparently her, this person's husband name was John. And he vanished from the waiting room, and I happened to be the John there.
You were not the John I was seeking. Oh my God. Yeah, that's way funnier now that I'm not high. That's See? Like way funnier
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Like not coming I,
and the poor woman on the gurney, she's just like, her head is just like going back and no.
Nope, nope, not my husband.
She didn't speak. But her head was just back and forth. No.
I don't know this man. I know what she's thinking. She's thinking, I have no clothes on under these damn blankets.
Yeah.
Who is this strange man?
Right.
I am naked. I have had things in every orifice. Who is this person? I just want to say, in closing about this, because I'm not going to spend a bonus section going into my personal medical health and bore the hell out of everybody. I did not get to crack any anal jokes. I wanted to crack the spit roast joke, but I knew that was not the audience. Like, I knew I had to save that for Twitter. But I go to the OBGYN to get my pap smear, and I'm up in the stirrups and I'm cracking jokes. Like, if you're gonna put me in an uncomfortable position, we're gonna laugh about it. And if you're uncomfortable, I'm so sorry. We're going to cut this mood just a little bit.
Well,
I did not get to make a single butt joke.
Well, it's like I was joking that you were kidnapped by aliens and given an anal probe.
I know. It's like, thank you for my anal probe. It comes with french fries. actually, what I said on Twitter was, and I have to pay $300 for the privilege of anal probe, which was just a portion of what the actual cost was. So, yeah, it's... No, but that was probably my greatest disappointment. I did not get to make a butt joke. I wanted to. I had good nurses in the procedure room. They would have like allowed a joke, but they got me doped up so fast it was gone. Opportunity.
They're like,
wasted.
Oh, we've seen this type before. We're putting her down.
Yeah. Get that thing in her mouth for the endoscopy. Drug her up. Get her to sleep before we are subjected to any butt jokes from this woman. Didn't get to crack anything about my bare ass being out or copping a fee. Nothing.
No.
I was very disappointed.
Yep.
But I did offer to come back next week so I could take another nap because it was a great nap. I was like, I woke up going, wow, that feels kind of good. So anyway, that is us.
Yep.
It's been, as always, another interesting week. It's always an interesting week. There's always something going on. And so much for... not having a long episode. Fuck. But in our defense, there was more content than bonus section.
True. True.
I don't know that we actually helped anybody. Maybe we pissed off a whole bunch of people. I can't help all that. At least I got to the topic quicker than I have been. That's progress.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Are we good?
Leave that for other people to decide.
Okay.
We're trying to be good at it. Does
right.
that count? I don't know. So yeah, that's it for this week. And in a few days, we will have another video out with our Kinky Fuckery series.
Correct.
For our kinky educational videos.
Yep.
We're going to be talking about toys for cocks.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be very, very fun.
Yep.
So yeah, that's it.
All right.
Because somebody's got to cut my mic. I will just keep talking.
I know. All right. Let's say goodbye to the good folks.
Goodbye to the good
folks.
We love you. Bye.